So as a way of an introduction, I'll hand over to Tim to speak to us on Abraham, David, Jesus and you.
Well, thanks David. Good morning everyone. Nice to be here with you. Thanks for taking the time to come out and listen this morning. So I'm going to look at the subject then of Abraham, David, Jesus and you, or Christ, as it says there on the screen. Now you may be familiar with some of the names on the screen, you'll probably be familiar with yourself. But Abraham, David, Christ. Okay, three really important figures that appear for us in the Bible. Amazing that we might be here in Coventry this morning and saying that we might be able to have something to do with those three men. And hopefully this morning I'll be able to show you that we do have a promise that's there for us along with these three men. So we'll consider who they are, what the Bible tells about them, what's important about them, and then why does what we're told about them matter to you and to me. Now, first of all, if you've got a Bible, if you could find for me Matthew chapter 1, we're just going to take one verse here, because this one verse really links our three men together. So Matthew, the first book of our New Testament, and it's going to be the first chapter and the first verse. Because these three men that we're looking at were all part of one family. So they were all descended originally from Adam, but then from Abraham. So Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then the chapter then goes on to list for us all the generations that are from Abraham down to the birth of Jesus. But I just want to show you there that Abraham, David and Jesus were all part of the same lineage. They were all part of the same family. Okay, let's go and take a look at this man, Abraham, first of all. Now we find out about Abraham in Genesis. So back now to the first book of your Bibles, please. Now, Abraham's a really important man in religious terms, I mean, particularly in the Bible, but for the Jewish faith, for Christianity, for Muslims, Abraham is sort of the founder of their faith. And we read about him in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that Abraham was chosen by God. Now, I've got some chapters and things on the screen there, more to give you something else to look at other than me. So if you're not sure, I won't be going to all those references, and I'll be reading them out to you, so don't worry if you can't find them all. But first of all, we want to find Genesis chapter 11, please, because here we'll find out that God called Abraham. So Genesis chapter 11, and we're going to have a look at verse 27, please. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was wife, she had no child. So we've got there just a bit of information about their family. You'll notice that they were in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, where probably around Iraq today. And another thing to notice there is the fact that Abraham took a wife called Sarai, as she's known later on. But verse 30 tells us she was barren and was not able to have any children. That's important for later. Let's just carry on reading verse 31. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then we carry on reading, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So God had spoken to Abraham and said, look, Abraham, I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your family behind, Well, you're going to go with some of your family, and you're going to go to a place which I'm going to tell you about. I'm not going to tell you where that place is yet, but I want you to follow me and do what I want you to do. And Abraham was a faithful man. He did what God wanted him to do. But as part of that, he was given promises. Things that God told him would happen if Abraham was faithful to him. And we read of those promises in chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. And this is what God says. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So I've got this man Abraham, but this time he's got no children, remember? And God says to him, that I'm going to make a great nation out of you. But not only that, I'm going to bless you and give you a great name. Anyone that curses you, I will curse. Anyone that blesses you, I will bless. And then, perhaps more relevant for us at the end of verse 3, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So somehow through Abraham, this man who lived thousands of years ago, there is an opportunity for all the families of the earth to be blessed. And we'll look at how that's going to happen this morning. Okay, so that's what we read about Abraham in chapter 12. And if we carry on reading, we read that Abraham left as he was asked to do and made his way into the land of Canaan, or Israel, as we know it today. And that's important because if you look over your over the page of your Bibles at chapter 13, God again speaks to Abraham. So he's made his journey from Ur into the land of Canaan or Israel. And then again God speaks to him and gives him a bit more information. So this time, chapter 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Amazing, isn't it? These promises that were given. So he's stood in Israel and he's told to look north, south, east, west, everywhere around him. And the promise is that this land will be given to his seed forever. Okay, not just for a certain amount of time, this is going to be forever. And then again, verse 16, he's told that his family is going to be enormous, like the dust of the earth. Well, how is that going to happen if he had no children? Well, if we read, we're not going to read all these verses, but if we carry on reading in Genesis, it tells the story of how the angels appeared to Abraham and to Sarah and told them they were going to have a child. Okay, and then that child eventually was born. But Abraham and Sarah had to wait an awfully long time for that to happen. It's not until they're around about 100 years old that Abraham and Sarah had a child. And if you're happy to, just turn to Genesis 21. And we just read about that in Genesis chapter 21. So they waited an awful long time. Genesis 21 and verse 1 says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. So he'd have to wait so long for these promises, or for the promise of this son to be born, to take place. But it was vital that that happened for him to have the family that was going to be so big. Now, what does God think about Abraham? Well, let's turn over, please, to Genesis and chapter 25, please. Because this tells us a little bit about the end of Abraham's life and how much God had blessed him in his life. So Genesis 25 and verse 5. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. So Abraham was the chosen son. Sorry, Isaac was the chosen son. Abraham gave everything he had to Isaac. And then the other children we had, he gave them other things and sent them away. Then verse 7 says, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. It's a bit of a problem now, isn't it? Because Abraham's been given this promise that he is going to inherit this land forever. But we're told here that he's died. So what is it that God has got in his plan for Abraham? If Abraham's going to be blessed and be able to inherit that land forever, how is it if he's died? Well, let's go and have a look now at some of these references which are in the New Testament, which tell us a little bit more about Abraham. So first of all, please, can we go and have a look at Hebrews chapter 11? So New Testament, probably about halfway through the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. And in this chapter we have a list of many, many faithful men and women who were told about in the Bible and the things which they did. And we read about Abraham in verse 8. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we're told that he was looking for a city. He was looking for something else. He wasn't happy with what he got at the moment. He spent his time dwelling in tents, moving around, not being content with where it was that he was living. Then verse 11, as we've already thought about, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So that's telling us that Abraham, even though he was so old, as good as dead, it tells us there, from him came a great nation, and that nation we know of as being the Jewish race. But then let's have a look in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Let's have a look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now it's not our subject for this morning, but the promise for Abraham and all the faithful who have lived is that Jesus will return from heaven and raise those who have been faithful from the grave. He will raise them from the dead, and that's how they will go on to receive the promises that were given to them. But let's think about how this might relate to us. Now, David read for us to start with from Galatians and chapter 3. So let's just go and take a look at that, please. Galatians chapter 3. Okay, now this is a letter from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, writing to a group of believers and explaining to them how, yes, although they knew about Abraham, how it was that it was through Jesus that their faith was to be realized. And we looked in Matthew, didn't we, about how Jesus was a descendant of Abraham. And so it says in verse 16 of Galatians 3, "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ." So even back in Genesis, way back in Genesis, it's Jesus who is being looked forward to when those promises were given. But again, how is this relating to us? Well, let's go and have a look now towards the end of the chapter. Verse 26, please. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So if we have faith in Christ Jesus, then we become the children of God. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So it's through baptism then that we can become part of this family of Christ Jesus. But then verse 29 links for us that man Abraham with Jesus and with us. "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So that's how we can be part of that family. That's how we can be part of all the families of the earth that are blessed through Abraham, if we become Christ. And how do we become Christ's? Well, it tells us in verse 27, if we are baptized into Christ, then we put on Christ. And so we can be Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise that we read about in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 13. So that's Abraham and us. Now let's go and have a look together at David. Now we've already had a look at Matthew chapter 1. We've seen that David was a descendant of Abraham and Jesus was a descendant of David. Let's just go and take a brief look at some of the background of David. Now Abraham's family grew and multiplied as we were told that they were going to do, and they became a nation. They became the nation of Israel and they lived in the land of Israel. Let's go and have a look, please, at 1 Samuel chapter 16. So back in your Old Testaments now. And I guess this verse tells us a little bit about the background of David, but also shows us that God's calling everyone. It's not just calling very famous, important people, because we'll see here that, well, that wasn't David at all. Okay, so 1 Samuel 16, a prophet called Samuel has gone to anoint the next king of Israel, and he's gone to the family of a man called Jesse, and Jesse's brought out his sons, and they've all gone before Samuel, and actually it turns out it's not going to be any of Jesse's sons. Well, let's have a look at verse 11. So 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. "And Samuel said to Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." So actually Jesse wasn't going to bother bringing David before Samuel, because, well, he's just the youngest, not important, keeping the sheep. So they sent for him in verse 12. And at the end of verse 12 it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." So here we have David, that the boy who's just out keeping the sheep, who's anointed to be the future king of Israel. And again, like Abraham, he had to wait a long time for that to happen. Many terrible things happened to him before he became king. Let's go and have a look now at some of the things that start to relate David to us. Let's have a look, please, in 2 Samuel, please. So the next book in your Bibles, and chapter 7. Because again, like Abraham, David was given promises by God. So 2 Samuel chapter 7. Beginning at verse 12. This is talking to David. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So again, it's got this idea of forever coming out. And we're told here that this person was going to come from David's family after David had died. And we know, don't we, that Jesus was the one who was in David's family. We read that back in Matthew. So, verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now down in verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So over and over again, we've got this idea of forever coming out. So, how does this then relate to us? How can this be relevant to us? Well, let's go and have a look now, please. We've got it there on the screen. Isaiah chapter 55. So Isaiah chapter 55. And there's an invitation here for everyone. So Isaiah 55 verse 1, Ho everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So the invitation there is for everyone, isn't it? To come and buy things which don't cost any money. And what is it we've got to do? We've got to listen to the words of God. And if we listen, if we incline our ear and come, then God says that he will make an everlasting covenant with us. Those things which are to do with the sure mercies of David, which we've read about in 2 Samuel chapter 7. So who was it that was being talked about in 2 Samuel chapter 7? The one who was to sit on David's throne and to live forever. Well, that of course is telling us all about Jesus, the third of our three characters. Now, we'll all have heard of Jesus. He won't need any introduction to us. So much that we read about in the Bible is telling us about Jesus and the things that he was to come and do. Let's have a look, please, first of all, at Luke chapter 1. So in your New Testaments now, one of the Gospel records. Luke chapter 1. And here we have a story which we may well all be familiar with, the story of the angel coming to Mary and telling her about the fact that she was to give birth to a son. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And so we can see there a link made back to the fact that this man was to be, or this woman Mary was of the house of David. Actually, technically, it's Joseph, isn't it? Joseph of the house of David. And this is what the angel says to her. In verse 28, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So this is Jesus that was born. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And notice there, it's picking up some of the language that we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that this was to be the one that would come and sit on the throne of David, which was in Jerusalem. And it says at the end there, verse 33, And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So we can see Jesus now being linked with David. Now, we're not going to turn these references up, but we're told in Isaiah chapter 11 about what was promised about Jesus. We know from when we read in the Gospels that he goes on to live a faithful life. He does exactly what God wants him to do. Let's go and take a look now at the end of Jesus' life. Let's have a look at Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 26. Because although he had done everything that God had asked of him, he still had to suffer and be crucified. Actually, sorry, I think we'll leave Matthew 26. Just turn over to Matthew 27, please. So Matthew chapter 27, and we find that Jesus has been tried, he's been on trial, and he'd been given over to be crucified. So Matthew 27, and let's have a look at verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So in spite of the fact that Jesus had done nothing wrong, he was delivered to be crucified. And then over the page, please, in verse 35, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So here we read of the fact that Jesus was crucified. And really that could be the end of the story, couldn't it? That Jesus was put to death. But you may know, and I'm sure you do, that Jesus was raised from the dead. And on my Bible it's on the same page, but maybe over the page for you. Chapter 28, and reading verses 5 and 6. So some people have come to the tomb to find Jesus, and the angel says in verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. So having been crucified, Jesus was raised from the dead. So what did that mean? What might that mean for us? Well, let's have a look now at Acts chapter 2. Well, let's first of all go to Acts chapter 1. So after the gospel records, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. Because we're just given here a little bit of detail in Acts chapter 1 about what happened to Jesus after he was raised from the dead. So Acts chapter 1, verse 3, talking about Jesus, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And again, that's not my subject for this morning. You can come on other Sunday mornings and find out about those things that are to do with the kingdom of God. But he spends 40 days talking to the people about the kingdom of God. And then what happens? Well, let's have a look in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So a really important verse for us there. We're told here that Jesus, who in front of the eyes of the disciples was being taken up into heaven, we're told there, will come again as they saw him go into heaven. So the Bible tells that Jesus is going to come again from heaven. And so from this point on, the apostles, Jesus' disciples, went about telling people all about the message of Jesus and what they had to do. Let's just take a look now at some of that message, which is given in Acts chapter 2. So just over the page. And this is Peter, one of the apostles, And this is what he says in verse 22 of Acts 2. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And that's some of the things we've just been looking at in Matthew, that the crucifixion and also the resurrection of Jesus. And so there's an awful lot more detail that we could go to in Peter's speech here. But the people he's listening to are shocked, I suppose, by what they're hearing. And if we just turn over the page to verse 37, this is their response. Verse 37 of Acts 2. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall choose." That's what they're told to do. They've heard about the message of Jesus, and they're told that they need to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And it says in verse 39 that that promise is given to them, to their children, and to all who are afar off, as many as God will choose. And we read in Isaiah, didn't we, about that invitation that went out to everyone to come and to listen. And so that's the invitation that's there for us, to come and to listen, to find out about what the Bible tells us. We've thought about Abraham and how by being baptized we can become part of those great promises that were given to Abraham. We've thought about David and the promise that was given to him of having a son on the throne that was going to be forever. And here we thought about Jesus and how if we are baptized we can be saved and have our sins forgiven. So Abraham, David, Jesus and us, we can have a part in these things which are recorded for us in the Bible. So thanks for your attention this morning, and hopefully I've made some sense as I've been going through. I'm very happy to speak to you and to answer any questions you might have when we're finished. So thank you, and thanks, David.